Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello. Today I am here with Allie and Bree from Off Script Podcast. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
I am so excited to have you guys on. This is my second official podcast crossover episode. Why don't you just dive in and tell us all about Off Script?
Go for it.
So we are a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we watch the adaptation of the said book, and then we compare the two.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have this theory that whichever one you did first tends to be the one that you enjoy more. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you read the book first, you most likely like that one more. If you watch the movie first, you most likely like that one first or more. First.
Yeah, it's been pretty accurate. At the end of every season, we do like a recap of all the books we did that season, and we go in total what who liked which one more, and it's like a C plus average right now of our theory. So I mean, on the more accurate side, so we'll take it.
So what have some of your favorite adaptations been?
Brokeback Mountain. Mm-hmm. Because it's a short story, so it's hard to screw that one up.
Yeah, it was very accurate. It was like 60 pages and then a 2-hour movie, so they had everything in it, so that was a good one.
But they also didn't like add anything either, so that was because with short stories they tend to throw extra crap in.
They added just some like background stuff, so it wasn't like, why did you put this in here? It was like it added to the story, but it didn't take away from the book. So that was really cool. I had never read John Green before this podcast. So I love The Fault in Our Stars. I think that was one of my favorite ones we've done. And the adaptation was really good too. It was very accurate as a adaptation could be.
So what are some of your like least favorite adaptations?
Bree can take this one. She has a very strong feeling of one of them.
I was just gonna say, Allie already knows my answer. It's Allegiant from the Divergent series. I can't believe how badly they screwed it up.
The Allegiant adaptation was so bad that it killed the YA dystopia genre completely. It really did.
It made me so mad. I couldn't even believe what they literally were like, oh, here's your book. Cool. This doesn't fit with the storyline that we set up in Insurgent, so we're going to keep going with it.
It didn't make sense. And then at Comic-Con, Brie, you got to actually ask that question to Veronica Roth. So what did she say?
Veronica Roth was very diplomatic about it. Basically, she laughed. She was like, yeah, I don't know what they did.
Like, what is the point of adapting something if you're just going to completely make stuff up?
Right.
Exactly.
Like, why keep the name? Just make a new thing altogether.
No sense. But, She also did say that any author would tell you that as long as their book gets made into a movie, they'll be happy, even if they have a butchery.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think one for me, it's actually opposite. I grew up with the Homeward Bound movie. And so when I found out it was a book, I was so excited. I was like, I'm ready to read it. And the book is so boring. I'm like, these animals don't talk. And like, what is the point of this? And then, you know, like doing more research, I'm like, oh, there is an actual Incredible Journey movie that probably...
Yeah, we gotta go watch that.
I know, we do. That probably matches more to the book. But they said that Homeward Bound was based on it. And I can see the similarities. But I was like, nope, movie's right. Movie's right all. And Bree's like, the book came out first. And I was like, nope.
That's but, also how I feel with Back to the Magic. They kind of butchered Magic too.
I love Practical Magic. Honestly, I love the movie so much. It's one of my like top favorite movies ever.
Yes.
And
Did you hear they're doing a sequel?
Yes. Yes. They did, like, so just announced that. Yes. I am so pumped.
Me too.
So pumped.
But don't read the book if you love the movie.
Yeah. The book was, I don't even think I finished the book.
I didn't want to.
Yeah. It was not. It did not hold my attention at all. I think I got about right around halfway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just gave up.
I thought it was hilarious because Allie had started reading it because I had seen it forever ago. It's one of the movies that I grew up with. And so I typically, if I've watched it or read it, I think Allie do the opposite, depending on what she's done, if she's seen it or read it already. Yeah. She started reading it and I was so excited because I was like, I'm supposed to be reading this one. I was like, where are you at in the book? She started like, oh, the teenage daughter just bleached her hair because the aunt made her. So I was like, that doesn't happen.
She was so confused. I was like, oh, so this happened. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, it must be really different. And we actually do that surprisingly a lot. Our very first time was Misery, I think, the Stephen King. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, can you believe when XYZ happened? And she's like, what? And I was like, I thought you watched it. And she's like, I did, but that doesn't happen. And that was like one of our very first episodes in the season. And so we came to quickly realize, oh, we can't really, even if someone's done one of the others, we can't really share it because chances are these things don't happen in the book now, or movie.
Now when I ask her, I tend to like with Practical Magic, I just sat there and looked at, like, I was trying to remember that part. I was like, I can't show you that. I don't know what that's going on.
Yeah, sometimes adaptations really hit the nail on the head. Sometimes you have no idea what they're doing, and sometimes you just got to treat it like fan fiction.
Right. Definitely.
Yes.
Like there have definitely been some where they're completely different, but they're still good in their own way that you just kind of have to look at it as a separate medium, you know. And really, I mean, a lot of times just look at it as fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Like,
actually really smart. I never thought to do that.
Yes, definitely. Like when they're just completely, you know, pulling random stuff out of their butts, like with Allegiant, then, you know, that's not fan fiction. That's you took an idea and decided you hated it. Like the people who made that movie don't seem like people who liked the books.
Right.
Well, what drives me crazy is like, they seem, because in Allegiant, the biggest thing for me that I loved, she killed Dressoff. And I know a lot of people hated that. And I was like, that's such a, like, that was her arc. And then it seemed like they were the people who read the book and were like, oh, I hate that you killed off the main character because we won't be able to make any more movies or TV shows and get money from this.
I find it interesting when we have real stories that change so much.
Oh, yeah.
And so... like we've done Two Kisses for Maddie or Fatherhood as it's known on Netflix. and Accidental Billionaires or The Social Network. And so you would think, okay, this is a true story, so they're going to get it as accurate as possible.
No.
But they don't. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so it's just shocking to me, especially like with Two Kisses for Maddie, which is an autobiography. So you know the book is totally correct. And so it's like, that is his life. And then the movie just switches it up. But we did talk to Matt, who was the author, and he explained certain things and how he was okay with the way they did certain things.
He understood that Hollywood has to make it a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more like, so basically the story is about this guy whose wife dies during, not during childbirth, but after she gives birth to their child. And so it's him raising their daughter. And her family was so supportive and so there for him. But then in the movie, the stepmom's just a wit. It's like, we're going to take your child from you. All this.
She caused a lot of drama, whereas in the book, she was not dramatic at all. And I'm like, I couldn't imagine being stepmom and watching this movie and being like, I wasn't like that. But he explained that, you know, everyone understood and they were on board and understood they needed something to spice up the movie. But yeah, and it was like, it's just that those type of things kind of shocked me. But I mean, I guess they have reason for it.
Yeah, like I genuinely wonder how she felt watching that.
Right.
Like, okay, oh, I'm a villain like now.
I watched it and gone home and cried.
I know. Right? Like, she said that she was okay with it. But like, I'm like,
was she?
Yeah, who knows? So, yeah.
There is one adaptation where I love the original book. It's one of my favorite books. And I absolutely love the movie, even though it is 99.9% different and really just has like one little thing in common. And that is Ella Enchanted.
That's on my, I've like almost scheduled that one like 5 times. So, okay. All right. I remember reading that one as a kid.
Yes. It was one of my favorite books as a kid. Uh-huh. And the movie has absolutely nothing in common, but it is so cute and such just a fun and lighthearted and feel-good movie that I immediately forgave it for not being related to the source material at all.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to officially add it. Maybe you got to try it again now that we've started this podcast. Yeah. We're going with a new attitude when we watch.
Definitely. You have to. The book is a lot. I mean, it's still YA. It's still for kids, but it has just a much darker theme to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the movie is just very lighthearted and comedic and, you know, even just colorful and bright and fun. And the book is sad and a little on the dark. Like for a children's book, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them both completely.
That's kind of me with, it's very controversial. Not really. I mean, in the reading aspect. That's me with Percy Jackson because I watched it first. So I really liked it. I went and saw it at that time with my boyfriend and his friends who had loved the book. And they were over there like, what? What is going on? They were pissed. And I'm like, wow, this is a really good movie. And then they made me read it. And I was like, oh, that's why they didn't like it. But every time I go watch it, I like am brought back to that first time seeing it of like, wow, it's a really fun movie. And I don't really compare the two because while they are similar in aspects, they are different enough that I'm like, well, I like the movie because it's fun, but I mean, I like the book because, like, I mean, it makes a lot more sense, I guess, to me. Mm-hmm. But so I guess
if you want to hear me have hot takes, we'll listen to our Percy Jackson.
She's not a fan of the movie.
Did you guys watch the Disney series?
I haven't yet.
I'm in the middle of it, and even that, I think they did not do great. Everyone's been like, it's so much better than the movies, but then they've like changed fundamental things. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
This doesn't. I just need a perfect adaptation of the Percy Jacksons.
Have you seen the series?
I really enjoyed the Disney Plus series, yes.
Oh, okay.
And I have a 12-year-old, and she also really loved the series.
Oh, good. I thought about showing it to my 7-year-old, but we watched the trailer, and she's like, no, that's too scary. And I was like, fair. So maybe a couple more years for her. She's a little scared of things.
I will be incredibly disappointed if you don't make her read that book series first.
Oh yeah, I know. I probably should. But no, so we've been doing that with the Harry Potters where we've read them and then we go watch the movie. And that's been a lot of fun because she's doing what we do and she's like, "What? That did not happen?" And I'm like, "I know."
You know, looking through your guys' list, there are so many on here that I had no idea were actually books too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Movies,
and it'll say based on a book. I'm like, well, and we'll pull out our phones and add it to the list.
I used to always be very adamant about the book first. But the last few years, I have like completely flipped that and I've been watching adaptations as soon as I can and then getting mm-hmm. around to reading the books later on as I had the time. And let me tell you, I think I was just so, and I kind of like it better this way now because I was so angry about so many adaptations while trying to watch them after reading the book.
What was it? Bullet Train was the one that I wish. So Bri had seen it first and I had read it first. And the movie is so fun, but the end of the book is like, I love when puzzle pieces come together, like that throughout the book they sprinkle things that you don't realize are important and then at the end they all come together. Well, the movie doesn't do that, and so I got so angry. I was like, this is the worst, like what is going on? But the movie is so fun. I'm like, if I watched this one first, I would have loved it and then loved the book. But now mm-hmm. it's like I'm mad at the movie but like the book type of thing. Like I could have loved both of them. So I get that, where it's like you gotta pick and do it strategically.
What's funny is with the podcast, when I schedule them, we go in and we like say if we have seen it or read it already. And so typically there's a good chunk where Allie hasn't read either of them. Like my immediate reaction is to be like, okay, I'm reading the book first. But lately I've been like, okay, she's gonna read the book first, I'll watch it first, like so that she can get the I'm angry.
Yes. Yeah, because usually she's already read it, so I'm like, okay, I'll watch all these first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm trying to think, there's like so many adaptations that are like even out right now too. Mm-hmm. And lately I'm finding some that I am liking better than the book, like more mm-hmm. often than I normally had. Like every now and then it was like, wow, I'm surprised I actually really liked this one. And now there's like so many things where I'm like, this is so much better. And I don't know if it is like just a difference in, you know, writers, or if it is just my own perception of things has changed. But like, you know, for one example, there's Bridgerton, which is, you know, mm-hmm. really popular right now with mm-hmm. season mm-hmm. 3. And I've read most of the books. I haven't finished the series yet, but I've read most of them and I like them. But I don't think there's something that I would like go through and read a second time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a reread for me. It's just this was nice. I enjoyed it.
I haven't read or watched it. I'm like, the Bridgerton series, is it kind of like one of those book series where like this book follows this character and then this book follows this character?
Yes. Each book, and they do the same for each season of the show, follows mm-hmm. a different character. And okay. there are, you know, it's all members of the Bridgerton family. And We start off with Daphne, and it is her story of, you know, being presented to society. And each one has a different trope, like a romance genre trope. So hers is the fake dating trope. Then Anthony comes out the next season, and he decides he wants to find a wife, and his becomes the enemies to lovers trope. And then they switched around the order a little bit for the show. So the third book is actually going to be the fourth season, and the fourth book is the current season, which is friends to lovers, also best friend's brother. And then what will be season four is a Cinderella story. And they go on and on. And after that, there's, you know, there's a pen pal to lovers. There's a second chance after one of the characters loses her first husband. So there's a second chance, or a widow romance, as they're sometimes called. So yeah, each one has a different, completely different story, but with all the same characters and all from the same family.
Okay. That's cool.
I've only just read a series like that, and now I can't even think of it. It's a Netflix TV show, and it's on our list to do, because I actually really liked, I loved the show. I watched the show first, and then I went and read the book. And I wasn't expecting that when I read the book. But I've, like, there's 12 books in the series, and I didn't expect it. Like, that's the second book. I was like, wait, where are we? But yeah, those are fun, because then, like, when the characters you know and love come pop back in, you're like, wait,
yes. Because all the main characters, they're there in the first book. Like, they're all part of the same family. So you get to see them, you know, as they grow, and you get to see their journeys from different perspectives until you get into their book. And then you really, you know, it's mostly from their point of view then. And it's honestly, it's a lot of fun. And I really like that way of storytelling. And the show really just took it and really deepened it. I mean, there's obviously so many things that a TV series, or, you know, Netflix series is going to be able to do that a book just isn't going to be able to do, just because, like, time and space, you know? For the books to tell all of the additional storylines, they would have to have multiple point of views, and they'd have to be 3-4 times as long as what they are. So the show really can go dive in deep and give us different characters, and they do create a bunch of new characters. So, you know, this is where I was talking about, kind of look at it like fan fiction kind of thing. There are new characters brought in. There are, you know, side storylines that are brought in to kind of add a little more drama and to really deepen a lot of the storytelling. But the main storyline of each book is still there, at least so far. It's still there.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I highly recommend Bridgerton.
Okay, we'll add it. You're actually not the first person to tell us that. So we need to get it on there.
Now's the time. Bridgerton's hot. Now's the time.
I also plan on asking you to come. We talked about it when we talked about having you on our podcast.
Yeah.
And you're coming back for the fall of the House of Usher, which I'm excited. I cannot wait to watch that.
I am so excited for Fall of the House of Usher.
I haven't watched this show yet. I want to read the book first for this one.
I have read Fall of the House of Usher many years ago. I am a big Poe fan myself. So I'm definitely going to reread it before we dive into the series.
Yes, I'm excited. I cannot wait.
I am so excited.
But I do plan on, when we do Bridgerton, having you come and be on the podcast with us.
Absolutely. I would be honored. Bring all my Bridgerton hot takes.
Yes.
Oh, please do. So then I'm not the only one with a hot take.
We've noticed too, where when, like, we'll have watched, what was it? Was it just the host? No. What did we just record? Where
Bullet Train?
I don't think it was Bullet Train though. You were like, oh, I really liked the movie, and then I really liked the book. They didn't do that bad. Maybe it was the host. Oh, it was the host. And then
yes,
and then you read them back to back and watch back to back, and then you're like, oh my gosh, they did horrible. So if you give yourself a break in between, you're like, okay, it's not that bad. So if you don't want to ruin things for yourself, highly suggest give yourself a month or two in between each.
Me and Ellie, our recording schedule is to where we have to read it and then watch it right after we read it. So, but I also feel like that helps our podcast.
Yeah, we want to have all of it in our head so we know that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong, right? And so we're ruining a bunch of stuff for ourselves. But
but I think it makes it more fun when we record too.
I think so.
We're passionate about it and we're like,
we are not in our studio right now because our life is insane. And that's probably why we don't have the best audio quality. So we apologize for that.
Oh, no worries at all.
I mean, this is how we do it, right? We go on each other's podcasts and we chat. We
promote each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That helps for sure.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, it's fun. I'm really enjoying connecting with, you know, other book lovers and with different authors and some bookish businesses and, you know, just really getting to know a lot of new people and just make connections that I didn't have before. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. Whether it goes anywhere or not, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do remote recordings at like local bookstores and that's been a blast. And like, we just
that
did the
sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a, I love it so much. And we just were invited to do the Kent Nerd Party that was in June, the 1st of June. And the only reason we were invited was because we did a remote recording at Page Turner Books. Ali, am I saying that right?
Yes, you are. Yeah, so it's like a giant block party, Comic-Con style party. So there were booths all lined up. It was like a farmer's market. And we were there with our... little recording studio. We had a microphone out and people could sit down and talk with us. And that was a fun episode.
It was.
Yeah, that sounds a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we get out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it too, because honestly, like being on camera and stuff is not where I'm most comfortable, to say the least. So it's definitely like kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone and, you know, kind of just forced me to do things.
Definitely. Yep.
Well, you can tell you, I was a nervous wreck.
Oh my gosh. She's like, we were supposed to get there at 11 and we live like 25 minutes away. And she texted me. She's like, okay, it's 10 o'clock. We need to leave. I'm like, no, we don't. They're not gonna let us in early. Playing us in early, but we got there like maybe 15 minutes early.
Yeah, she made me wait.
I did. I was like, you can handle it.
I told her, I was like, once we're set up, my nerves will be gone. That wasn't the case, but
that was fun.
Yeah, I definitely want to do some of that. I've got one small local bookstore. I live in a cornfield. So I'm in Northern Illinois.
Okay.
In basically a little cornfield village, like Village of the Corn.
That was a good book movie adaptation.
Yeah. Literally my backyard butts right up against a giant cornfield.
Wow. Oh, I would be horrified.
You know what? Sometimes it is.
Like the kids are coming to get me or the aliens are coming to get me.
Yeah. Yeah. One or the other.
We are always taking suggestions for books to movies. So we'll add Bridgerton to it and anything else. I think we're trying to make all season 6 fan requests. So if you want to go check us out, we're available pretty much anywhere. And we have a Wix website, but it's like, let me see if I can find it for y'all.
Isn't it offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript? Yeah.
We were waiting until we got bigger to buy a domain. But on there is everything. So we have a lot of fun. We are not at all professional, but we're fun.
Tagline.
Best way to describe it.
Basically is we're working on making shirts and everything. It says we're totally professional and Come check us out.
That's Allie's sarcastic. Whenever we do something that's special, she's like, we're professional.
Yeah, anytime. I'm like, our audio is awful. It's because we're professional. And like, or whatever. We aren't prepared on something. We're professional.
Well, thank you both, Allie and Bree, Offscript Podcast. Thank you again for being on Must Love Books today. And everyone, stay tuned. March 2025, follow the House of Usher.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, well, thank you again for coming on. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been.
It really has been. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.